Hello, welcome along to this episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How you doing, Jermaine?
I'm good. Hey guys, how's it doing? Awesome.
So what have you been up to the last couple of weeks?
Well, it's crazy at the moment where the London World Champs going on. I've been mixing it with the Guatemalan team, helping them out. I've been their water boy. So three of the Guatemalans. Doing the London Games Championship Marathon, and I was handing out the water. So yeah, and that was pretty good. Helping my friend Juan Carlos Trujillo.
Nice. You got the pronunciation right.
Well, I hope so.
How did you get wind of that gig?
From his coach, Gary Staines. English GB 5K. 10K runner. And then he coaches Carlos. So he said, Jermaine B's tour guide. So I was like, all right. And he went to go for a jog. So I said, let's go around Hyde Park. And then he says, they had three people in their team and the president.
Yeah.
So president's not going to hand out the water, is he? So they said, can you help us? I said, no problem. They gave me a little pass. Obviously, I've been abusing it. I've been sneaking in every day. So,
cracking. It's been a good week for you.
And what about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I'm currently sitting in a little room in Addis Ababa. I've done a week in Malawi for a friend's wedding, which was amazing country to visit. People are really nice. I did have one incident when I was running between villages, and it was in a little rural area in just outside. It's called Majeti, it's in Malawi. And I was running up this hill, and it's a long stretch, like a long straight stretch. And at the top of the hill, kind of in between villages, was a lady who was carrying her baby on her back. And she saw me, and she had a heart attack. Because imagine like me with my big hair, my big beard, white man. She'd never seen a white man before. Well, she had probably seen a white man, but never seen a white man running up. She thought I was coming to get her. So she started legging it up the road, and I was chasing after her. And I think she thought I was a white devil or something, but I was cheating. I thought, do I slow down and stop and let her run on and find, but it was ages to the next village, or do I chase her and then catch up with her and then try and tell her that I'm not the white devil and I'm just all right? So I thought, right, I'm going to have to really put my foot down. Chased her over the hill.
Love it.
So yeah, that was great.
That's your new tag, the white devil.
It was bloody hilarious, but yeah, it was good. That was quite fun.
So what happened? You just went breezing straight past her, so she knew that you weren't after her.
No, I caught up with her and held my hand up and said, "Listen, it's okay. You're safe. You're not in trouble here. I'm all right." And she was all right with that. She she didn't mind so much when that happened. But yeah, it was pretty funny. And I saw some kids as well, just in the next village, and I ran over to give them a high five. And the same thing, they absolutely, like, they smashed it. As soon as they saw me come in, they ran away and hid in their little hut. So, yeah, that's quite funny.
White devil, watch out.
It's slightly different here in Ethiopia. I'm here for a bit of altitude training, because I'm going to run the, I was here in Africa anyway, so I thought I'd give it a go. But yeah, it's really good. I'm staying with a guy called Ed Stevens. He runs a project called Run for Africa, who I'm probably going to try and have a chat to and talk about kind of what he's up to and stuff at some stage. Maybe release that on the podcast. Might do a few video blogs for that, which should be quite good. But yeah, hopefully come back fit if my legs aren't broken from falling over in the rainy season. But hey, that's it. That's me.
Sounds good. So the topic today is mental preparation, yes?
Yeah, dealing with the big pressure. Dealing with the pressure.
So what do you do when you was getting ready for big races?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm probably a case of somebody who doesn't get it right every time. Like, I think when you're confident and everything's been going well in training, usually I'm a lot more confident going into the race than if it's been a bit patchy and I'm not feeling great and feeling up to the run. So in terms of like stuff that I go through and do, I don't do too much. I don't do much visualization. I do a little bit when I've got a really big event that I'm coming up to, but like I tend to just try and think back and look back on the training that I have done in the past and in the lead up, and like take confidence from the fact that it's gone well and I can race and I can do it, and all of the performances that I've done that I'm capable of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because I do visualizations for big races. Mm. But you're right about the confidence. If you're confident, obviously you're more laid back. But it's the problem occurs when you're unsure on your fitness.
Yeah.
That's when you're most nervous going into races, especially at the beginning of the season. You sort of don't know what shape you're in. I suppose that's when people feel more vulnerable.
Yeah. And in that case, like, I mean, for me, I just say, like, just not kind of worrying about it. It's, you're here to do it, unless you're Mo Farah or unless you're someone who's Andy Butcher, maybe you're Laura Muir, when it's your life depends on, well, not life depends on it, but your career is about your athletics. It is, at the end of the day, it is fun. It should be fun. Like,
It's supposed to be fun.
And actually, like, every time I go to a big race, and I feel terrible. Like, everyone I know that races, the last sort of 20 minutes before the gun, you feel terrible. But the important thing to remember is everybody feels like that. You're not the only one. And if you didn't feel nervous, like, that's a bit weird. Do you know what I mean? Like, not feeling at all nervous is strange, as well as feeling overly nervous is strange. So, like, embrace it. It's fine. You get out there. Like, it is, essentially, you are doing it for fun.
When you're nervous, you get extra energy and adrenaline. So, it means you got a boost, a mini boost.
Yeah. So, embrace it. Yeah, enjoy that little boost. Do you do anything Karen, sorry.
No, I was going to say, the worst thing is when you're nervous and you smell that burger cart or something.
then
you're in trouble, yeah.
Do you do anything? I've heard a couple of people do stuff like they write down all the things that could go wrong in the race or in the build-up to the race. So everything's like completely planned out. Do you do anything like that?
I would say that's stupid because millions of things can go wrong, so that's going to be a big fucking list of paper, you know?
Yeah.
So the best thing is not to panic when something goes wrong.
Yeah.
And then you'll never be thrown. So you always think, okay, just forget about it. You know, just worry about the race. Obviously, only the hour leading up to the race, you sort of need to make sure you're prepared. But like when I get really nervous, I just get really quiet and sort of don't talk to anyone.
Yeah.
So yeah, everyone deals with their nerves differently, don't they?
Yeah. I think it's a good idea to like think about like what could go wrong. Like, because just thinking like on a simple scale, like most races, I will have my bag packed the night before, sort of thing, or like hours before. I want to make sure I'm totally like ready. Like, I don't want to be stressing out about being late or stressing out about not having the right kit. So I'll always make sure that I have my gear together. And
yeah,
that, do is
yeah,
get up and go.
That helps, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, the one thing, every time I leave, I just make sure, have I got my shorts, vest, and spikes or trainers. So as long as I can do the race, I don't really need anything else.
No, exactly.
And then obviously, you need to get there. But apart from that, everything else is a bonus.
Yeah, it's taken care of. What was that?
But you're right, packing a bag before, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And I think I have suffered big time from nerves. Like, the higher up, the faster I got, the kind of less nerves you seem to have. So, like, when I was competing at my very best, I'd just go into the race and I'd know that I could compete and do that sort of thing. But when I was, like, when I tried to get back to the level that I was at that year, I used to get really nervous because I was comparing myself to everybody else and worrying about what everyone else was doing rather than just thinking, right, I do this every day. I get up in the morning, I run, I go down the track and I race on a track session, and not really like losing sight of the fact that it's not about what everyone else is doing. Like, you can do it, you're used to it. Like, it's just about running as well as you can rather than running and worrying about what everyone else is doing and worrying about how their performance is affecting you. So I think that's quite important. Like, it's about you. You do it all the time. It's a simple activity, really. It doesn't feel like it a lot of the time, but like the more you can blank out everyone else and of the stuff that's going on, the better you'll perform, really.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so what's that story you want to know? What story do you want
to
know?
That, about that lady with the pan. Was that anything to do with arriving late?
That was my sister, fool. So I must have been under 15. Going into the National Cross Country Championship, so it must have been like a Wednesday. Races on a Saturday. I get into a little bickle with my sister. We're fighting, like pushing each other. She just grabs a frying pan, which just my mum just happened to buy a new one. It was lying on the side, and she just hit me in the knee. So I had a bruised knee. So yeah, that's the frying pan story.
It's nothing to do with you being late. I thought it was you being late, but no. Well, our interviewee this week is actually, she's about to take to the track in the heats of the 5,000 metres in the World Championships. And it's Ailish McColgan. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk to her very shortly about how she prepares mentally for events and how she deals with nerves. Obviously, her mum's Liz McColgan, which is like quite a lot of pressure, but we'll talk about that. Unfortunately,
Sean did say we, but he meant he. She was so busy on training camp before the World Champs, she didn't have enough time to talk to both of us.
Yeah, so it's just me on the recording, but it's obviously not as good as it would have been with Jermaine there, but we'll run that recording now. Here she goes.
Ailish, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you.
You're preparing yourself for the World Championships at the moment. You're up in Fontenoy.
Yeah, so there's quite a small bunch, but it's probably about half of the endurance lot of the GB squad are currently out in Fontenoy. So it's been quiet, but obviously it's been quite hectic with all the training that we've been doing. But Fontenoy is a brilliant place to train, so we're pretty lucky out here.
And what's the atmosphere like? So obviously you've only got 8 days left before a pretty major competition. Is everyone kind of quite lighthearted? You know, people keeping to themselves? Is it what's the atmosphere, do you think?
To be honest, I think because we're so removed, obviously, from the championships, it doesn't really feel intense or like that the World Championships are happening. Really, I mean, we don't have TVs in the apartments or anything either, so it's not like you are completely, as I say, isolated, I think. Again, everyone's in their own apartments as well, so you don't particularly see people very often until you're at the track. And obviously, it's amazing being at the track and having the likes of Movara and Laura Muir and Andrew Butcher all jumping, training hard, and you can see everyone down there. But it is quite a relaxed environment to part of. It almost allows us to focus on the main event rather than be surrounded about it and thinking about it all the time.
And how's your preparation going? Are you feeling fit and ready at the moment? You had some injury problems, didn't you?
Yeah, like I've had a bit of a weird year. They haven't had the major injuries that I've had in the past, but I've had calf tear and then hamstring tear, so it's been a little bit frustrating for me. But at the same time, I've been able to bounce back pretty quickly from those, and I had a really good run out in Monaco with 3,000 metres and sliced a huge sort of chunk off my PB there. So I definitely feel like I'm coming into shape at the right time, and you know, I'm just excited now to go over the longer distance.
Yeah, and you're running the 5K?
Yeah, 5K, yeah.
These are the girls that are alongside you in the team there. Are you finishing your preparations together? Are you doing sessions and things alongside each other, or are you just still doing your own plans?
No, I mean, we obviously have our own plans, and Steph Twell she's staying in London, so she's not come out. Laura Muir actually only arrived just a couple of days ago. But I mean, we train completely differently. She's aiming obviously for the 1500 primarily and then doing the 5K. For me, there's no point in doing your own training all year round and then changing just a week before the championship. So everyone sticks to their own schedule. But as you say, it is inspiring being at the track and just having people there running fast and running hard and sort of cheering you on.
It's very exciting on the cusp of a World Championships. Like, but taking you back to when you first started running, when did you realise you had a talent for it?
I knew obviously when I first did sort of small Scottish races at home. I used to finish quite highly, and I wasn't training at all really. I would just go along and race just because that's sort of the school would enter us, and we just enjoyed taking part. I then sort of won I traveled all the way down to, I think it was Birmingham, I can't actually remember now, but it was back then it was called the Reebok Cross Challenge. So it was the whole of the UK competing for the cross country sort of British title, and I won that at under 13 level, and again I wasn't training that much, and that was the first time I thought, oh wow, like I really enjoyed that, maybe I could be quite good at this. But I never really focused on it really throughout sort of school and start of university. I, not that I lost touch with it, but I was still training hard, but I just didn't really think I was maybe good enough to make that next level. And when I was 20, I think that's when I sort of reevaluated things and thought, no, this is definitely what I want to do, and I'm going to sort of give it my all to see how good I can become.
And when you were that age, I mean, obviously, it would be remiss of me not to mention your mum, obviously. She was one of the best runners in the world. Like, when you were that young, did it bring added pressure? Did you go into races and people would say, oh, that's Liz McColgan's daughter, or did you manage to kind of go under the radar and not let it bother you too much?
No, as soon as I started running, I was always Liz McColgan's daughter, and I was so unaware and naive to it all. I think as a kid, you're not really aware of stuff like that. Like, you just want to run, you want to go and run about in the mud and the cold and enjoy it. Like, I didn't really care what people thought of you. I remember sort of running a couple of races and then people's parents saying to their kids, oh, that's such a brilliant run because you beat Liz McColgan's daughter. And I used to think, like, why does that make a difference? But again, it didn't really, I never really dwelled on it too much or thought about it too much because I just loved running. I think my younger siblings they probably feel the pressure a lot more than I did. And that's subsequently why I think they've probably not gone into the sport the way that obviously I do it now. But for me, it was never ever that big a deal. I wasn't really bothered what people thought. I just loved running and that was it. I think because my mum's always been my coach as well. She's part of this process and she's the one that sort of got me to the level I'm at today. So it's never really, I've never felt like an added pressure because of that.
Yeah, and I guess with sort of counter to the pressure, she's been through it all. She knows how to deal with these situations. Obviously, she was really strong as well mentally. She was quite a tough runner. Has that rubbed off on you? And have you taken tactics from your mum's mental preparation into events? Do you think?
To be honest, it's not really something we've ever really spoke about. I think probably just the way I've brought up, I've always been. It's just been natural to just tough out and get on with things and. That's the way sort of our family has always operated. So it's not like she's had to sit me down and teach me how to be strong to in a race or do you know what I mean, mentally prepare. Yeah, I've never really had that sort of issue where I've had really bad nerves and not being able to. I suppose I just love running, so it's very simple when it's something that you love to do, and I enjoy running as well. I feel like you put in all this hard work and all this training, and it's for that one moment. So. I'm just usually excited, really, to be there. But yeah, I think probably maybe growing up around my mum and just seeing the way she is, it's probably rubbed off on me a little bit more than I realise.
And of this qualifying for this championships, you had a really tough time. In that, were you like almost kind of off your, not your deathbed, but you were injured right up to almost the day of the trials, but managed to get up there and run? Did you feel, was that mentally really tough? How did you cope with that?
To be honest, I've always been faced with setbacks. In the past, I've had a hell of a lot worse injuries than this one. So 2013, I had to run the steeplechase trial with a fracture in my shin. So that was a hell of a lot worse than this. And I just knew that it was bad timing. Obviously, it was 2 weeks before the trial. Tear your hamstring isn't best prep. But because it was a muscle, it was probably a lot mentally easier for me to take, because the other injury I've had have been always bony and they've always taken such a long period. But this, I knew it would be 3 to 4 weeks, so we were pushing obviously at two, but I was able to steady run. I could steady run without any issues, and so it came down to the point where I wasn't sure if I would be able to run, but I knew my best chance would be to make the race as even as possible and to avoid a sprint. So that's pretty much what we did in order to try and reduce the chances of it tearing further or sort of taking a few days step backwards. It obviously wasn't great throughout the race, and afterwards I had another couple of days afterwards and another injection into it to try and calm the inflammation down. But at the end, I still obviously made the team, and that was the real goal and the aim. So we achieved sort of what we set out to achieve, and it's just part and parcel of the sport, really. I think things rarely go to plan. You end up sort of following plan B, C, D, and it goes right the way down to the one that finally gets you there.
Does it ever kind of go through you? Because I mean, I'm running as well, and often if I have something like that in the back of my mind when I'm running, it does really affect my performance. Did it play on your mind? Were you running and thinking almost like you had an excuse, or does it just you once you're out there, you are mentally focused on the job you've got to do?
I think I knew I was in very good shape, so there was only myself and one other girl with the time in the race, so I knew that all I needed to do was come in the top two. I think perhaps if I knew I had to just purely win the race, it would mean maybe a little bit more pressure, but I was confident that I could run strongly enough and even pace without having to sprint the end and still be able to get second. Obviously, it's frustrating. Everyone wants to win a race, but to be honest, my main aim was just to come second in that race, which is a bit strange to go into something just hoping to come second. But I think it then allowed me not to really think of things too much. That was all I wanted to do, was just be in that top two. And the main focus then was just on that position.
Yeah. And obviously you've been to other major championships like before. Do you have, in terms of your preparation for those big races, do you have like a set schedule you follow, or do you try and stick to certain routines and patterns to keep you settled, or are you just quite relaxed as a person anyway?
Yeah, I think I'm quite relaxed as a person anyway. I think there's not like a set thing that I would follow. It's very difficult to follow the same routine when some championships you're racing early morning, some championships you're racing late evening. So it depends on what time your heat is on that day as to how you prepare. But I suppose I follow the same sort of protocols, and I have the same breakfast every morning, and I would maybe go for a bit of a walk or a shuffle jog to sort of wake myself up. I would then go back to bed again. You know, it's very simple things, but there's not a set really strict timetable that I would follow in order to make sure that I'm at my best. I think I'm a lot more relaxed than that.
Yeah, and leading up to kind of London, obviously your heat's at the beginning of the athletics for 5,000.
I'm towards the end actually. I'm like sort of the fourth last day or something. I'm on the 10th of August.
Okay, so are you going down into the kind of the athletes' village at the beginning of the championships, or are you going to go in there a bit later to stay away from the pressure cauldron?
I don't actually go in at all. So I just go in literally the day before my race. Actually, maybe 2 days before my race. We've not quite worked it out yet. But it's easier doing that dropping down from altitude, because you sort of feel much better on the earlier days. So it's just something that we've always done, really. We did it for Rio last year and it worked really well. So it works. I think it works much better doing that. You're sort of out with what's going on, I think.
Yeah. And what would represent, do you think, a good result for you? Have you got like a target you're aiming for going into the championship?
Yeah, I think like last year, obviously, I made the final, was I think 12th or 13th in the final, and I was really disappointed because I felt like I was capable of sort of getting into that top eight. So this year, really, I think if I could break into the top eight, I'd be really, really pleased. Top six would be my sort of my top goal, I think. Definitely from my recent PB, I think I've got a big, big chunk of time to take off that 5K, and I'm just excited for it now, really, to start competing where I feel like I should have maybe been competing the last couple of years. So I feel like I've definitely moved up another level, and I'm looking forward to sort of putting that into practice now over the five.
Yeah, and it's nice finally to get a PB. Well, I only saw in the media, probably you haven't really noticed, but the first PB where you're actually getting faster than your mum's PBs. Was that a nice moment, or did you not really think about it going in?
My mum had spoke about it, because she said from my training she felt like I would be either side of her PB on like a good or a bad day. So I think I maybe shocked her and myself a little bit by just how quick. I think the fact I ran 8:31 but was finishing so strongly is a really positive sign. So it's always nice, obviously, to break records, especially being a family record. But as I say, I think my mum's felt like it's been a bit of a long time coming, really, and I think she's just proud, really, that it's now that I'm now there and competing at that level. I'm only a couple of seconds off her 5K, and I feel like I could take quite a big chunk off of that one as well. So
yeah.
For us, it's just exciting, and she's she's part of the process and helping me get there.
Yeah, and this year I've noticed you have done quite a lot of Diamond League races, and you've been in and amongst kind of top athletes in the world. Do you think you really benefited from that experience of doing that? Do you go into those big races and feel part of it, or feel as if you belong there now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in the past, obviously, I've competed in quite a lot of Diamond Leagues, but in the 3,000 metre steeplechase, and it is completely different now, changing now to the 5K, because there's a different way that you have to run. It's a completely different race, and it's taking a little while to get used to that, really. Obviously, it's been great to be in the Diamond Leagues, but I feel like this really, last year was my first year at the 5K, and this is, again, my second year, so it's still very, very early days, I think, in a distance event. I feel like a lot of these girls have been competing over the distances for so many years, so obviously it's been, again, because of injury. I feel like I've had a couple of years out now where I haven't been competing at that level, so it's nice to be back and alongside, yeah, some of the best girls in the world.
Do you know if they have, in the British team this year, have they filled all the slots in the various events?
For the world champs?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a completely full team.
For mental preparation, is being accustomed, being used to something is really a key aspect, really. So I think it's important to get out there and get the best sort of competition you can possibly get.
Yeah, I think obviously it makes sense to have, you need the experience of championships in order to improve. But at the same time, you don't want to go to a championship if you've not got a qualifying time and you're miles and miles back, because that's obviously not a nice experience being so far off. But I think definitely if you're around about that ballpark of making teams, it's definitely worth the opportunity to give you the chance to see what a championship's like, to see what it's like to run rounds.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously a completely different feel to championship races, are completely different to Diamond League races. So it's the experience, really, of getting used to that sort of racing.
Yeah, and in kind of, now you're competing on that level, do you notice there's been loads of controversies about performance enhancing drugs and that sort of thing? Does it affect your preparation, do you feel, or during the race, does it play on your mind? Does it affect you at all in your racing and your training?
No, not at all. I think I can't stop people from cheating. I can't stop people from making the sort of wrong decisions. So what's the point in me worrying about it and stressing myself and messing up my own preparations and messing up my own race, worrying about others? So I go into the race and I stand on the start line, and I know that there will be people cheating, like in front of me and behind me. But at the same time, it's not something that I stress out or worry about, because, as I said, I can't control it. I can't stop people.
Yeah.
I can't tuck them in at night and tell them not to do it. So it's not. I don't think any professional elite athlete actually really thinks about it when they're racing.
So you mentioned your heats at the end, your first heat for the 5,000 at the end of the athletic schedule. What does that day look like leading up to that race?
For me, it's probably a little bit different, because I am only going into the sort of athlete hotel literally 2 days before my race. So I'll have a travel day, which I'll either just sort of steady jog or take the whole day off, depending on how I feel. And then the day before my event, it's usually just spent literally relaxing and chilling out. I sleep a lot, a lot. So just pretty much hibernate as much as I can throughout the day. And I'll usually get myself out to the track sort of early afternoon, literally just do a 5-minute jog, some stretching, some drills, and then I might do just three sort of stride outs.
Yeah.
And that's it. I just get back, make sure that, eat, sleep, and recovering. The work's done well before that point, so there's no point in making myself more tired by that point.
Excellent. And then get down to the stadium, and what's it like there, the atmosphere? I mean, obviously you run the Olympics, it's a cold one, I guess. Do you manage to control your nerves in the stadium?
Yeah, I think for London was probably the most nervous, 2012, so the Olympic Games, by far the most nervous I'd ever been, because I'd sort of been catapulted into that from sort of nowhere, really. I'd never ever competed at that level. It was my first sort of GB team, so it was quite a step up in performance, really, to be at an Olympic Games. I was very, very nervous for that championship, and I didn't perform probably as well as I should have because of that. But to be honest, I think it was such a learning experience and such a good stepping stone heading towards Glasgow 2014, because it was the same situation again, but just even a little bit more special with it being Scotland and having all my friends, all my family, we're all in the stadium, which is so unusual. So, yeah, I think now I feel like I'm a lot more mature, a lot older, a lot more experienced with championships, that nerves haven't really bothered me too much. In Rio, obviously you're nervous to the extent of you're excited to race, but not nervous to the extent that it's detrimental to your performance. So yeah, I think last year there wasn't any nerves and performed really well. Obviously this year it's going to be a little bit different, having again another home crowd. There's obviously going to be the nerves there, but I think they can help you sort of perform to your best, your ability, if you can just control them.
Yeah, so don't be afraid of them, just embrace them in a way, let their adrenaline... Yeah.
The nerves mean that being nervous just means that it's important to you, you want to perform well.
Yeah.
But again, at the same time, it's what you do in training every single day of the year. I mean, every day you run, so it's no different whether you're running around circles in London or whether you're running circles in France or Dundee or wherever you are in the world. It is effectively, you're still putting one foot in front of the other regardless of where you are. So
yeah,
I always sort of try to think of it as that as well. I think you train for this, for these moments, so sort of make the most of them.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, that's a good way to end the interview. I've just got three more questions to ask, questions I ask to every single interviewee. And they are, if you could only wear one make and model of running shoe for the rest of your career, what would that be?
So yeah, I run in my Nike Pegasus, so I'd probably say, I mean, I did the majority of my training are in those, so I'd probably pick those.
Perfect. And if you could recommend anything really, film you've been watching, TV program, book, podcast, magazine, just recommend us something we should have a look at in the next few weeks.
Oh, God, I have no idea. Well, I haven't had any internet here in France for the last month, so I can't really recommend any Netflix programs or TV shows or anything like that.
You could almost recommend, you and Michael do running coaching, don't you? Your boyfriend, Michael Reimer.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, I would recommend that anyone sort of wanting to start up running probably does... Yeah, get themselves a coach or join your local running club. I know so many people are so scared to go down to the local running club, but you'll be amazed how many people are down there and are the same ability as you as well. I think everyone associates that with elite running, but yeah, it couldn't be further from the truth. So that can be people's New Year resolution, mid-July.
A mid-year resolution, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And... the final question is, in your opinion, what has been the greatest endurance performance of all time, male or female?
Yeah, it's a difficult one for me. I'd probably, obviously, I wasn't there to actually witness it, but I have to be biased and say my mum's sort of 10,000 metres in Tokyo.
Yeah,
I've watched it on YouTube, and it's a bit surreal thinking that that's my mum. It's a bit strange, like it doesn't feel real. So, yeah, I would definitely say, it would be between, I know Brendan Foster obviously said that was the greatest that he'd ever seen. Obviously a little bit more to my sort of decade. Obviously making my mum sound like she's ancient, but my decade is obviously a bit, or something that I've actually seen myself would be Paul Radcliffe's 2:15 or whatever it was, something crazy.
Yeah.
Marathon record. I think that's one that's is just never ever going to be broken, or I can't see it being broken.
No.
So yeah, I think for that to be a British woman, is obviously two of them are very strong British women, so it's for me
pretty
that's
inspiring.
Pretty inspiring. Yeah, definitely.
Perfect. Well, we'll let you get on to with your final preparations. Good luck. We'll be rooting for you over there in London, and I hope you come back with the result that you really want.
Thank you very much.
Nice one, Ailish.
Thank you. Bye.
So some good tips from Ailish there about how to deal with the pressure and how she's dealing with the pressure leading up to the World Championships. We're next going to go to, we didn't manage to ask your questions that you've emailed in. We've got a couple here, Jermaine, so we're going to answer those now between ourselves. And the first one is from Dave Reagan from Basingstoke. And he asks, I think this one's for you, Jermaine, to answer this one. He asks, how do you deal with the constant need to go to the bathroom pre-big race? Obviously, Dave's suffering from nerves. He's needing to get the bathroom quite a lot. How do you deal with that, Jermaine?
Well, I would, especially as I know Dave, I would say to him, I'll go and buy him some Pampers, and then he can start put those on, you know, and then he can wee and run at the same time. No, but on a serious note, when everyone needs to go to the bathroom when they get nervous, so the best thing is to do just to allow time in your warm-up leading into just before the race. So if your stretching takes 30 minutes, make sure you take 40 minutes because, you know, there might be a queue to get in the bathroom. So as long as you allow time, you can fit it in. But also, I try and sort of hold it in until near the end, because if you go early on, you might need to go again. So it's like you're wasting two lots of time. Rather, if you leave it closer to the race, you can just go all at once.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. And you said you take caffeine tablets as well. Does that help you?
Caffeine tablets, yeah, obviously. Gets you juddering before the race.
Keeps but also, it's,
yeah, but it's blooming bad on your belly.
Yeah.
So yeah, you definitely need a toilet when you're taking those, boy.
And I've got a message in from Danny from North London, and Danny asks, how do you deal with, like, how does the pressure affect your sleep, and how can you ensure that you get a good night's sleep before a big race? Which is quite a tough one, I guess.
And what would you say to that? Would you reckon?
Well, I reckon I think the main thing I used to, when I was younger, and I used to run in the like the juniors when I was competing against you and Mo Farah, Jermaine, in the good old days in our school year. Well, I used to like never sleep the night before, and I've just got better because I actually you realise that it doesn't actually matter. The night before doesn't matter that much. It's the week leading up to the race that's the most important thing. Like, a restless night the night before won't actually affect your performance all that much. So don't worry about it. Like, make sure you get a bit more sleep in the weeks leading up. But on that last day, that's okay. Don't worry about it too much.
Yeah. Well, okay. You just make sure you don't go out, stay up all night partying. But yeah.
So what do you say, like, your own personal top tip for dealing with the pressure of running in big events? What would you say that was?
I would say visualize how you want to execute your race, but then it might not happen the way you think. So you got to think plan A, plan B. Visualization helps. Because then at least when it's sort of unfolding, you think, oh, I've watched this movie before, because you've seen it in your head.
Yeah, I like it.
Even if it's trying to stick with someone, right? You know, like you think, oh, just hang in there.
I'd say what I've got two is one is to leave nothing to chance. So make sure your bag's packed, make sure you leave early, so you're going to be there a while before the race, because otherwise you don't want any stress leading up to the race, like you forgot something or you're cutting it fine. So be prepared to leave nothing to chance. If it's going to be wet, make sure you chuck a waterproof in your bag, that sort of thing, just to make sure you're covered for every eventuality in terms of the weather and your travel. And
then especially even in Europe.
Especially in Europe, yeah. And here right now, it's absolutely hammering it down in Addis. But, and the other one was from Ailish, is like, you do this all the time. It's fine, like you train for this. You if you're not nervous, that's a bit weird. You should be nervous. It shows you care about what's going on. So just go out there and embrace it. I think that's two.
Yep, sounds good. Tips.
So our next show is with GB international marathon runner and also a guy from our year at school, Jermaine, is Scott Overall, and
we're going he is indeed
talking about running races abroad and how Scott's dealt with that. Obviously he's run Olympic Games in London, but his best races have come in Berlin, so we're going to be talking to Scott about that,
and he's also getting ready for the next Berlin.
Fantastic. So yeah, we'll catch up on his training. And if you want to send any questions into Scott, you can do that via the email address, which I think I've just forgotten, but it's getintouch@letsgetrunning.co.uk.
Such a professional.
You can tweet us at letsgetrunning, or you can send us a Facebook message. The Facebook page is Let's Get Running. That'd be great if you guys could get in touch. Jermaine, you're up on Instagram, is that right?
I am, and so are you, Sean. So am, send us likes, and then we need the likes from YouTube.
Yeah.
iTunes. Twitter. We need all that good stuff.
We need all of that.
So don't be shy. Don't be shy.
Perfect. Nice one. Well, I'm all good. I'm going to go and enjoy my second run of the day in Addis.
Okay. Hashtag white devil. Don't be terrorizing the local villagers, yeah?
Yeah, geez, I'm worried about that.
Well, just put some, like, you know, like carrot juice on. Because then, this hell, there's a caramel. You won't be so bad.
There's no way I can do that. I'm not blacking up or oranging up for anything. No.
You should have went to the spray booth before you learned out there.
I probably should, to be honest, yeah. Right, okay, we're off. Good to speak to you. Let's get those reviews coming in. See you later, Jermaine.
See ya, bye.
Bye.